Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
God has an endless supply of grace for us. Whatever we need, He's going to provide us with it. He's going to give us the grace to face the challenging things that we all face at some time or another in our lives. And so just knowing that there's sufficient grace, and knowing that we have a sympathetic high priest, and knowing that everything that God has said in His word is true, you know, all of that is intended to bring us rest.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Hebrews. Join us as Pastor Brian begins today by reading Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, in a message titled, The Word of God, Living and Powerful. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
You tend to look and you think, God, is there ever going to be justice? And how is it, Lord, that these, you know, how is it that these people continue to seemingly get away with these things? But here's the truth. Nobody's getting away with anything in the end. And we have to believe God's word. That brings us rest. And when we're tempted to wonder if God sees what's going on, you know what we're also tempted to do is we're tempted to take things into our own hands. Somebody lies about you, somebody slanders you, somebody says, you know, things that just simply aren't true. And the big temptation is to just jump up and defend yourself and to fight back and say, you know, hey, that's not the way it is. Let me set the record straight. And yet, you know, there are times when the Lord says, you know, I see what's going on. Don't worry. Trust me. Rest in me. And I'll take care of those things. You know, again, there in the 37th Psalm, I will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday sun. God's going to show in the end who's righteous and who's not. And we can rest in Him to do it. We can trust Him to do it. And so that brings us rest when we recognize and realize that nothing escapes the attention of God. He sees, not only does He see what we see, He sees a lot more. You know, have you ever had a time where you're like, Lord, have you seen what they're doing? And I've had that, and God responds back to me like, oh yeah, and they're doing a lot more than you can see. But I've seen it all. And don't worry, I'm taking care of it. There's nothing that escapes God's attention. I find comfort in that. I find rest in that. I can just say, Lord, you know, and it's all going to come out. Jesus made that clear over and over again. What you say in secret is going to be shouted from the rooftops. And so God sees, He knows. Thirdly, we can rest because we have a sympathetic high priest. We have a sympathetic high priest, someone who knows our trouble, someone who knows our plight, someone who knows our affliction, not theoretically, but somebody who knows it experientially because they've been there. There's not one thing that we could ever come to God with and say, Lord, I've got this problem, I've got this burden, I've got this thing, but Lord, you would never understand this. Well, of course, God understands everything from the fact that He's omniscient, but He understands it from experience as well. Because Jesus, as we're told here, He was tempted or tested or tried in all points as we are. But sometimes we forget that, don't we? We forget that we have a sympathetic high priest. We forget that when we come to God with our burdens, that He's not indifferent toward us. He's not disinterested in what we've got to say, but He's fully attentive, and He's been in that place. You know, when you meet somebody who has suffered in a similar fashion as to maybe what you're going through, you know, you find that there's an element of not just sympathy, but there's empathy there. There's some comfort that you take in that. I know for me, the people that have gone through things, I might not have even known that they had gone through them, and I might be, you know, sharing with them something that I'm struggling with, and they respond back and say, hey, you know, I went through something just like that. Wow, the moment they say that, that encourages me. What, really, you know what I'm talking about? You've been there yourself, and this is what God did for you? Oh, that just strengthens my heart. That encourages me so much. And with Jesus, that's the case. As I was reading through Luke this week and just kind of coming to the end of the gospel there, a couple of things stood out. The blind man in Jericho. Jesus is passing through Jericho, and there's a blind man, and he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing through. And all of a sudden, he jumps up. He says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And he begins to shout that, and the people around him are saying, be quiet. Shut up. Don't bother Jesus. And they, of course, thought that that would be an inconvenience to Jesus. Of course, he's got more important things to do. He's not interested in this guy. But, you know, Jesus stops and he comes to him and he asks him, what can I do for you? Oh, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus gives him his sight. But I just think of that, how Jesus is not indifferent. You know, sometimes we, even as Christians, we can be indifferent to the plight of people, can't we? Oh, don't bother me with that right now. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm weary. You know, when you're traveling and you're kind of just burned out, and, you know, and then you're going along and, you know, maybe you're in a crowded situation and just suddenly everybody around you is just irritating the heck out of you. They're not in trying to do it, but just the fact that they're there is irritating because you're tired. And, you know, you're tired of being in this crowd. You're tired of getting pushed and bumped into and people cutting in front of you and all of that kind of stuff. You know, that's just humanity. We wear out. But, you know, there's never a time when we come to Jesus and he says, you know what? I'm just too tired to deal with you right now. Man, just don't bug me. You humans, you've just been, you know, you're just exhausting me. We come to Jesus and he's always right there. He's ready. So he, you know, the disciples, they understandably thought that, no, they were probably tired. They were probably over it. They were probably like, no, not another person that's going to try to, you know, they might have been trying to get somewhere to get some dinner. And, oh no, this guy's going to, Jesus is going to stop and he's going to take all this time and we are so hungry. I can really preach this right now because I lived this yesterday in the airport. I'm just so tired of airports and everything. And Cheryl and I are going through and pretty soon, you know, we're kind of just snipping at each other. And she's like, quit being mean to me. Why are you being so mean? I'm not mean. I'm just hungry. Come on, just like, get me to some food and everything I suggest. No, I don't want that. I don't like that. That smells like fish. That's, you know, I don't want to ale pie. I don't want to go to a pub. I don't, you know, all these things. It's like, well, where do you want to eat? Jesus never does that. He's always patient with us. But you know, as I was reading in Luke, I thought, as I read that familiar passage of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, sometimes you'll read something and it, for whatever reason, it just kind of leaps off the page at you like it maybe normally doesn't. But as I read this, Father, if this cup can pass from me, take it away. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And for some reason, when I read that the other day, I just thought, wow, you know, here Jesus, this is the climactic moment in this whole ministry. This is why he came into the world for this very hour, as he said. And yet, as he faces this, he says, Father, if this cup can pass from me. And I thought, wow, there's that tempted in all points as we are. We talked about that earlier as we looked at the suffering of Christ. But those are the things. We have a sympathetic high priest. And he's always sympathetic. And we're never going to come to him with something that he isn't familiar with himself. And we can rest in that. The Lord knows. The Lord sees. He understands I love the 103rd Psalm where there it says that he knows our frame. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame and he remembers that we are dust. I love that picture.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you to visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now let's continue with today's message.
God knows our frailties. He knows our weaknesses. And as he's promised in so many places, he's not going to allow us to be tested beyond our ability to endure. He's not going to allow these things to destroy us. He's going to come to our aid as our sympathetic high priest. And then fourthly, we can rest because God has an unlimited supply of grace available to us to strengthen us to meet the challenges that we face. There's an unlimited supply of grace. You know, I have noticed this. We, in regard to trials and testing and tribulations and difficulties, our first thought and generally our first request is, Lord, don't let me go through this. Lord, get me out of this. Extract me from this situation. That's mostly what we pray, isn't it? But you know what I have found? Although God does do that occasionally, I think it's quite rare, actually. I think it's quite rare that he doesn't, that he just completely delivers us from all trials and difficulties. And obviously, the Bible supports this theory because the Bible continues to remind us that in the world, we will have tribulation. Through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom of God, the apostle said. But you know what I see more consistently, even in my observation, even in my own life, God doesn't deliver us from things. He goes with us through those things. And he provides us the strength to go through. Now, if it was up to me, I would just ask for an exemption from all problems. I would love to just go through life problem free. But you know, the Bible says in 1 Peter, the Bible says that we need to go through things. That the testing of your faith, if need be, there's times when we need this. You know, there's a passage where it speaks of the Lord saying he does not afflict willingly. And what that means is that even God himself, in his fatherly heart, does not necessarily, want to send us through affliction, but he knows that we need to go there. And so, being the good father that he is, it's like, okay, I hate to do this. I wish I could exempt you from this, but look, I got to put you in. I just have to do it. I have to do it for your benefit. And that's what God does many times. But the great thing is, as he promised this, he said, when you go through the fire, I will be with you. You see, go through the fire. You're going to go through it. And when you go through the waters, they will not overflow you. You see, that's the promise. The promise is there's an endless supply of grace that the Lord is going to give to us. Paul, the great apostle Paul that we all look to and admire so much, he thought that this affliction that he had was an impediment to his ministry. And so he prayed, Lord, take it away. And he tells us about it. He said, three times I sought the Lord that he might deliver me from this. He called it a messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh that was buffeting him. He said, but God's response was, my grace is sufficient for you. God's answer was no. I'm not going to take it away, Paul, but I'm going to give you the grace to deal with it. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God said, I'm going to give you the grace that you need to endure this thing. And through this thing that's causing weakness in your life, I'm going to be glorified. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so we can rest in this great truth that God has an endless supply of grace for us. Whatever we need, he's going to provide us with it. He's going to give us the grace to face the challenging things that we all face at some time or another in our lives. And so just knowing that there's sufficient grace, and knowing that we have a sympathetic high priest, and knowing that God sees everything and nobody's getting away with anything, and knowing that everything that God has said in his word is true. You know, all of that is intended to bring us rest. It's intended to bring us rest. I was listening to a guy preach recently. I was watching a video on the internet, and he was talking about the human condition. And he was talking about just the, you know, the reality of sin and the fact that, you know, we're broken. And he was talking about all of that. And he was quoting a world famous psychologist who had done all of this research on, you know, just sort of life in general and the problems that people face. And he'd done a ton of research, and he came back with this conclusion. His conclusion after endless hours of research and multi-millions of dollars, you know, spent on the project, he comes back with this. He comes back and he says, well, from everything that I can observe, what it appears is that originally man was sort of perfect and good, but something happened that caused man to become broken, and now we've got all of these problems, and somehow we've got to, you know, find the solution to this. And so this guy's actually quoting, I can't remember who the psychiatrist was or psychologist, he's quoting this guy, and, you know, he shares his conclusions, and then the guy preaching said this. He said, well, all right, thousands of hours and millions of dollars, and we got to Genesis chapter 3. Didn't need to do all that. You just open your Bible and read it. It tells you right there. Yes, that's exactly what happened. We were created in the image of God, and we were living in fellowship with him, but something happened that caused us to become broken. Sin entered into the world. My point in even bringing that story up is just God's word is true. It's right. What it says about humanity, what it says about where we came from and why we're here and potentially where we're headed, all of that is true. And all the details that it gives to us about what God's plan is, all of those things are true, so we can rest. We can rest in the fact that the world is not always going to be the way that it is. There's not always going to be evil. There's not always going to be oppression. There's not always going to be poverty and disease and all of those kinds of things that have been dominant throughout human history. They're going to be eradicated through the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. I'll close with this. We, our Creation Fest this year, you know, every year we do a theme for the week where we teach on a topic, or maybe we go through a book of the Bible. But this year we happen to do the greatest story ever told. Some of you realize that from the video that we showed a couple of weeks back. So that was our theme, the greatest story ever told. I started it with the prophecies about the coming of Christ. And then we just looked at, just kind of walked through the life of Christ. And the very last session had to do with the second coming of Jesus. And I was assigned to teach on the second coming of Jesus. And so as I was, you know, praying about and preparing to do that, I just had the thought that I should teach. I have 45 minutes or something like that, you know, 45, 50 minutes. I'm going to teach the book of Revelation because, of course, that's the book about the second coming, right? Other portions of scripture talk about the second coming, but that book is about entirely, the whole thing is about this greatest event of all, the return of Christ. So I did. Now, the backdrop to that is in UK and in Europe, in the UK and Europe, teaching about the second coming of Christ is very, very sparse. You don't find a whole lot of it at all. As a matter of fact, it's a topic that's generally avoided. The book of Revelation is most pastors and teachers in Europe would not dare to teach the book of Revelation. Many of them think that it has no relevance for today, and others would just say it's way too hard. It's so full of symbols and all. We could never make sense of it. So, you know, I did. I taught it. And we got a lot of really great response from it. But one particular response I wanted to share with you came from a young girl, probably in her early 20s. And she's been around the festival for a few years. And she wrote a letter, and she was just talking about how impactful this festival has been in her life. And she says, she's a musician who you know, plays at our festival. So she plays a lot of festivals in the country. She says, you know, this is my favorite festival. And she said, Creation Fest is my favorite time of the year. She said, actually, Creation Fest is, I like Creation Fest better than Christmas. And then she puts like a little, can I even say that? But, you know, that's, she just wanted us to know how much she appreciated it. But then she went on to tell a little bit of a story about how she has lived in absolute fear of the whole idea of the second coming of Jesus. And the book of Revelation to her has not been a comfort or a blessing. It's been something that's absolutely frightening to the point that she would never even open her Bible to the book of Revelation. It just freaked her out. Just like, man, that's the one book I am just scared to death of. But the good report was, she said, wow, listening to the overview of the book of Revelation, I never realized how wonderful the book is. And I never realized what the content really was, that it was talking about the great day. And she used this terminology, the great day when Aslan returns to Narnia. And she was using the, you know, the C.S. Lewis analogy there. But she was saying, that's what it's like when Jesus comes back. And she said, I'm no longer afraid. I just want to know more and more and more about Jesus coming back. And that's what the Bible promises us, that Jesus will come back. And that is a basis for rest. It doesn't mean that we don't keep working. It doesn't mean that we don't keep doing our best to get the gospel out. It doesn't mean that we don't keep doing what we can to help the oppressed and the afflicted and the people who are suffering. We keep doing all of that. But in the end, our hope is not in what we can do as human beings. Our hope is in the fact that Christ is going to come and he's going to make everything right. And we rest in that. Jesus is going to do it. His word is true, and he wants us, his people, not just resting in the fact that we're not having to work our way to heaven, but he wants us to rest in the fact that as we make the journey to heaven, he's got everything else under control, and we can just trust him.
Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl are with us in the studio today to discuss this month's resource, 10 People Every Christian Should Know.
One of our grandsons has been studying Hudson Taylor because his name is Hudson. So he wanted to know he asked his dad, you know, where's my name come from? And Char was like, Mom, remember how I learned those stories when I was a kid? So we not only like these stories, we like to pass them on to our children, and now our grandchildren are picking up on them.
Yeah, Hudson Taylor. James Hudson Taylor. Mm-hmm. His story is so fascinating. At the age of 15, he is convinced that God is calling him to China. Mm-hmm. And of course, he's an Englishman as well. He's a Yorkshireman. Mm-hmm. And so he leaves Yorkshire at a young age, or probably about, what, it was at 19, I think, that he headed for China.
But before that, was that when he was in medical school?
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was in medical school. And he went to China, and then he was the founder of the China Inland Mission. Mm-hmm. He found when he got to China that the missionaries there, they were more interested in sort of indoctrinating the Chinese people in European culture. And Hudson Taylor said, no, we want to bring them the gospel. He began to dress like the Chinese. He just immersed himself in that culture. And, you know, here's the interesting thing. Of the perhaps 100 million Christians in China today, most of them would trace their heritage back to Hudson Taylor. So this is a fantastic book. And so we are recommending highly that our listeners get a hold of this and read 10 People That Every Christian Should Know, written by Warren Wiersbe,
who's one of my favorite,
your favorite people in the world.
Yeah. Yes, we are recommending 10 People Every Christian Should Know.
Great.
Thanks to Pastor Brian and Cheryl for dropping by our studio today to discuss this month's resource. For a donation of any size, we'd like to send you a copy of Warren Wiersbe's 10 People Every Christian Should Know. The details for obtaining this month's book and all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Hebrews. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.